Thank you, Lord. Lord, we honor you tonight. Our Lord, our Savior, our Melchizedek, the author of our faith, author of our salvation. Glory to God. Oh, the one you gave yourself for us, and we receive it. Glory, 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 glory. Amen, 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 amen. Somebody just got healed of a bad situation in your stomach. I don't know what that was, but I know it's gone. Praise God. That was not just a simple stomach ache or something. I mean, that is a done thing in the name of Jesus. Praise God, that's your healing right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, before you're seated, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. 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 Oh, dear. Somebody on the internet, I can see this situation, but I don't quite know how to describe it. But while this was going on, somebody there in the room, I don't know. I don't know what's a hospital room. I don't know what it is. But somebody just slipped out of life. Somebody passed away right in the middle of all that. And Jesus raised them back up right then. Right then. I want to hear from that. I want to hear from that. I want you to write me, call somebody or something. I want to hear from that because I see it. And I'm seeing it right now. Praise the Lord. Somebody got raised up right in the middle of what we're talking about, the blood, and while we're talking about the name and talking about the covenant of God. Oh, to know Him in the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Going to be more of that. It's going to be more of that. I'll tell you something else there's going to be more of. It will begin to increase right along about the end of 2009, and it'll begin to increase and move in 2010. There are going to be some people standing in pulpits, mocking God, mocking the gifts of the Spirit. There's going to be some politicians, and there's going to be some street people. Some of them are going to fall dead right on their platforms. Some of them are going to just suddenly be taken drastically ill. And some of them will get healed and rise up in the name of Jesus and begin to declare His mighty works. And there are some, and it grieves the Lord to see it, because He's not doing it. No, no. They've just pressed it and pressed it and pressed it until the seed of their life has taken them over. See, every seed has in it its own judgment, its own destiny. If you don't kill that thing and plant another seed, you just keep going, keep going, keep going. That thing will harvest. The wages of sin is death. The harvesting of sin is death. And there are some, as they publicly stand up and disdain the people of God and curse the family of God, that right in the middle of what they're saying, in their mocking of God's people, they'll just suddenly be totally disoriented and just kind of walk around in a daze, and somebody will have to lead them out. Some of them will recover and some of them won't. Some of them will go right on and lose control of their own minds. Oh, these are glorious days. These are wonderful days. But there is another side of the issue for those that refuse the grace of God and refuse Him and continue to batter Him and lie on His people and hurt His family. You can only get away with that with His family for so long. And I'll tell you, payday's coming. But then on the other hand, the power of the living God is going to hit in the streets and flow like a river, flow in the marketplace, flow in places where the devil thought God would never be able to show up. Hallelujah. And great and mighty and overwhelming will be the manifestation of the soon coming King. For these are His days, saith the Lord, and He is Lord, He is Savior, He is the financier of the church. And the great transfer of wealth, the great transfer of influence, the great transfer is underway, and God is directing it. And if you'll walk in faith and walk in His Word and do His bidding and what He says, it will transfer into your hands from the hand of the world, and you will walk in it, and you will be a part of this overflowing move of the living God. Our day and our time has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I said. Yes. Now, before you're seated, I want you, I'm not talking about just saying a little something. I want you to touch one another before you're seated tonight, and together receive the ministry of the Spirit. The faith is on a level in here tonight that is really up there. It's the product of corporate faith for 6 days in this place. So turn and touch someone and say, I bless you. I release my faith for you. In the name of Jesus, be blessed and made whole. Minister to somebody. Take your time. Minister to 3 or 4 people. Hallelujah, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Yes, amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then you can be seated. Praise God. Oh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. I want you to open your Bibles with me to the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel, please. This verse, or this chapter in Mark 10 changed completely Gloria and my way of thinking. Mark chapter 10 verse 17, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. And honor your mother. Now Jesus only mentioned 6 to him out of the 10. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, or looking at him, it's more than just standing there looking at him. He beheld him. He looked on his heart. He really looked at this man, and he loved him. So this came out of love. One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me. He was sad at that saying. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Hallelujah. Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. You know why? Wasn't any of them poor. Peter, John, James, partners in a fishing syndicate. Matthew, a tax collector, a very wealthy man that nobody liked. He was a Jew, but he worked for Rome. And he was a very wealthy man. You can just go down the list. And they were all shocked. Now, one of the things that disturbed them, and Peter's about to bring it up here, they all heard Jesus say the same thing. He put it to this man a little bit different when he told him, I want you to sell. Why would he tell him that? He was putting this man in a place to prosper him. But then he said, follow me. Now, what had he said to the others? Don't take even a second coat. Don't take a purse. Don't even take a change of clothes. Well, see there, Brother Copeland, he wanted them all to be poor. Now, wait a minute. Don't alter the word with your religion. No. In Luke's gospel, he gathered them all together right there at the close just before he went to the cross. He said, let me ask you something. Did you lack anything? They said, no, Lord, we lacked nothing. Why did he tell them that? He said, look, you're going to work for me. You don't bring anything. I'll provide. I will take care of you. And he took care of all of them in ways that they never heard of, on a better level than they had ever seen. And they had all heard the same thing that he said to this man. The man on his staff that went sour was his treasurer. The man that was director of the ministry, that was entrusted with the money. And he didn't know Jesus knew it. Now at the Last Supper, you see something about Jesus. You learn something about his style. And he's dealing with Judas. And before the evening is over, it's late, way up into the night. And Judas gets up and leaves the room. Middle of the night. And they thought he was going to give to the poor. Now, what kind of a giving reputation does a man have for there to be a middle of the night situation, and he says something to the treasurer? They don't know he's been stealing, but Jesus knows it. And he gets up and leaves, and they think he's going to go give to the poor. Obviously, Jesus had done this in the middle of the night before. Amen. Now, are you ready for this? This is exciting. If this man had agreed, I'm in my heart satisfied about this. If this man had said, "Yea, Lord, I will, at your word, I'll sell what I have and give to the poor." Now, Jesus had already said, "Come and follow me." We're going to do some real giving to the poor here. We're going to do some real giving into the work of God. He offered this man apostleship. I'm satisfied that he was Judas' replacement. And he missed it. Now, they were astonished. So, a bunch of poor men would have said, "See there, I told you, them rich cats ain't getting in here. They're not going to make it. We're the ones that's going to make it." No, they were astonished and said, how could anybody? Actually, what they said, "How can any of us be saved? How can any of us be saved?" So, what did Jesus say? He went away grieved. Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, "How heartily shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Well, that stirred them up more. His disciples were astonished at his word. Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children." Now, why would he call them children? They're acting like little kids. "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in their riches enter into the kingdom of God." What's he talking about, the kingdom of God? We're going to go on into this tonight. And this is one of the points of it later as we get into our evening message. What is the kingdom of God? It's God's way of doing things. How does he do things? Totally different from the way the world does it. So, how can they enter into the way God does things? They were astonished out of measure. Well, now that really got to them. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who can be saved?" And Jesus looked upon them and said, "With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." And Peter began to say unto him, "We have left all and have followed you." We left it all. They left the biggest catch of fish in the history of the Galilee. They left everything. They left their own wealth. Did you know they have excavated Peter's home? They found all the foundations and everything of his home. And they said, "This is the home of a very wealthy man." Well, Jesus did. Well, I ain't got time to get in there. All right. Verily, I'm telling you the truth. Now listen, there's no man. Say no man.
No man.
No man. And when I first saw that the first time, I said, "Well, praise God, I'm a no man." That included me. There's no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. In other words, in this part of your life, here on the earth right now, in this time, houses. Now, you know what they got mad at Phil Driscoll about? And harped on it and harped on it and harped on it till they got a jury to convict him of it, and it wasn't illegal. Put him in prison for a year for something that wasn't against the law. For having two parsonages. And it's not illegal. Houses. Not only that, but just to keep the record straight, back before all that ever came up, he took money out of his own pocket and paid for that second home. He paid for it and put the money back into ministry. But there was some people, I won't go in and talk about who, but there were some people that had set out to destroy his ministry. And they got it finally. The judge put a stop to it after a while, but he'd already let it taint the jury. I mean, he let it go on and on and on and on, day after day after day after day. And finally, he told the prosecutor, he said, "Now, I don't want to hear no more of that in the courtroom, because what you keep harping about in front of this jury is not against the law." Well, where were you back there a month ago? And then when he sentenced him, he said, now I want to say this. Phil Driscoll is not a bad person. He's not a bad man. Neither is he a thief or anything of the kind. But we're going to make an example out of him." So what happened? Well, he spent a year in federal penitentiary over in Atlanta. But I was there the morning they released him. And I'm sitting out there in the parking lot, and one of the officers came out there, because you don't know exactly what time they're going to make the release. So we got up there early, and we were out there waiting in the parking lot to get out. She came out and tapped on the car window. It was cold, and I had the windows up. And I ran the window down, and she said, "Brother Copeland, the news is out that you in the parking lot." And she said, "I just had to come tell you." She said, "This man has changed this penitentiary." She said, "He brought the love of God into this place." Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm honored to know the man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. "There's no man left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecution." Now, when the power of God comes and you start receiving 100-fold, we read it over there in the 112th Psalm, I guarantee you there are going to be some folks gnash their teeth. They're going to scream and holler, persecution's coming. So he's just letting you know that it's coming. So go ahead and brace up for it. Praise God. You're in the blessing. Roll all your cares over on the Lord. And when they start calling you all kinds of ugly and nasty things, just tell them, say, "Yeah, but I still got 100-fold. Amen. And you can just look at them all and say, "I want you to know right now, I don't have a care. And for what you've been saying about me and persecuting me, I care less. I can't tell you how much I don't care. You can imagine how I don't care." As long as you maintain that, your 100-fold just keep growing. Why? Because God can put these things into your hands. He knows what you'll do with them. You're a blesser and not a condemner. You're not grieved and sad because you're somebody wanted you to do something with your money other than sit on it. Amen. Now, amen. We have the words of Jesus on it. It's written in red. Amen. Oh. We are over the budget $745,485. Now, that means that you have appropriated into the kingdom of God Wait a minute. Yes, what is it? $74,500,000. Now, that's just over the budget. You have invested, for Jesus' sake and the gospel's, in this week of meetings, $1,415,896. Now you multiply that times 100-fold according to the words of Jesus, and you have appropriated into the kingdom of God through your hands, through your life, and through your family, well over $100 million. That's what this is about. Hallelujah. I haven't noticed any recession around here. Now, say, well, yeah, but Brother Copeland, how could that be? I don't know. Maybe he multiplied it before it got in the back room back there. I don't know. But if he told you to put $50 in there and you put $50 in there and he turned it into $5,000 like he did the loaves and the fishes, you get credit for the $5,000, not just the $50. Amen. Let him do his thing. He don't multiply like you do. Or I do. I've been working on it for 40 years to learn this, man. I've been walking in it. And without pressuring people, putting pressure on the Word, standing on the Word, believing God, depending on our giving, from a minus $24,000 with glory. We were $24,000 in debt when God moved us into this ministry. And 11 months after we started, we were debt free, and we haven't depended on debt since. Now, with these laws right here, there's been, over the years, in the 42 years this ministry has been in operation, there has been $1.5 billion come through this ministry into the kingdom of God. Now don't you come tell me these things don't work. Without ever pressing people for money. Without ever writing one letter one time and say, I need your help. Oh, would you help me, help me, help me. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong to do. It'd be wrong for me to do. Because I committed to God 42 years ago that this is the way it was going to work. and we sowed it and walked in it, and people bad-mouthed us and all that and blah, 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 blah. And like I told you, I still don't care. Just love them. Go on, believe God. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Wonderful. Well, God's no respecter of persons. And the reason I brought this up tonight, Lord, you want me? Yeah. You remember the woman with the two mites, tiniest little offering in the whole meeting that day, and he saw it. And the scripture said she threw it in there. There was a man threw his last $5 into one of Brother Oral Roberts' meetings years ago, one of tent meetings. He had been on retirement for several years. He had ulcerated stomach, and the month was longer than his money. And he had $5 to last at the end of the month. And they received the offering. He took that $5 and he said, "Lord Jesus, praise God, you got to do something." He put that $5 in there. Now, to keep from going into all the length of the story, he had worked for Ford Motor Company for a number of years, and of course his health and everything, he was on retirement. And he had tried to present something that he had designed for Ford trucks. And they actually laughed him out of the office. "Who are you? I mean, he just works down there on the line. He ain't nobody. Come in here, those drawings." Kind of laughed him out. Well, the Lord spoke to him and said, "Go get those drawings." "What for?" "I want you to take them back down there to them." He said, "Lord, they done laughed me out of that place once." He said, "Yeah, but I'm going in there with you this time." Jesus said that little woman threw that in there out of her want. She threw it in there. Boy, it got his attention. She gave the biggest offering of the day. And still, people don't catch on how God does these things. When you become part of the whole of what God is doing, then you walk in an equal place with the whole of what he's doing. So you have every right to believe God, like you put $1.5 million in these offerings, if you obeyed God. Because to him, a $5 offering, if that's what he told you to do, is the same as $1 million offering if that's what he told him to do. That's just the way it works. Yes. He's no respecter of persons. And that man walked in there into the offices of Ford Motor Company and laid these plans down there. And it was the plans for a self-locking hub for four-wheel drive. And Ford was having terrible time with their four-wheel drive, and they hadn't been able to come up with it. And General Motors was ahead of them on the thing, and he walked in there in it, and they looked at that. They said, "This is it. This is it right here. This is it. This is what we've been looking for." And from then on, he got a royalty off of every four-wheel drive Ford truck could come off of the line. And became the largest contributor to Oral Roberts University. Oh, and got his stomach healed. Yeah, he got healed that night in that meeting. I'm telling you this because you opened your heart and you listened to God and you put this ministry on the road. Praise God. For some time to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Television broadcasts are going to go out because you obeyed God. And what I'm telling you, there is a release tonight from heaven through the earth to you. And if you begin to rejoice in it, the hundredfold is yours. And if you begin to rejoice in it, you can walk in it. And it has nothing to do with the finances of the world. Hallelujah! So somebody shout amen! Wow! Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Father, we receive the offering tonight in great thanksgiving. Oh, glory to God. And we thank you for being so gracious to us all. And Father, we receive these offerings and we sow them deep into this ministry. We sow them deep into the soil of the outreach in the kingdom of God, of the Word of God, all over the world, in television, in books and tapes and CDs and DVDs and whatever else it takes, praise God, to get the message of the blessing of Abraham by Jesus Christ throughout this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you need an envelope for your giving, raise your hand. The ushers will be glad to minister to you. And ushers, after you pass out the envelopes, go ahead and receive the offering. Praise God. As the blessing flows. Praise the Lord. Oh, Candy, I was hoping you was going to sing tonight. Candy LaFleur. And her husband, Steve.
Well, we'll get you right back in the service in just a moment. We wanted to take a moment to let you know that if you're watching us online, you can participate in giving as well. It's real easy to do so. On the left-hand side of your screen, if you're watching us either in English or in Spanish, there's a button, about six buttons down on the English side, about four buttons down on the Spanish side. You can click on, it'll take you through the different prompts on how to give. It's very easy to do so. It's very secure. And let us say right now that we appreciate so very much your giving into this ministry. What Brother Copeland said there the last few minutes about giving into this ministry and the outreaches and how you've helped us, we appreciate so very much you doing that. So if you want to, go ahead and take time to do that. You can do that anytime, whether you're watching us on replay or live, but it's always there for your convenience and available to you. We're going to get you back into the service for Candy singing right now, and then Brother Copeland will be right back in just a few moments to preach his evening message. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for giving into this ministry.
Jesus. People just like you and me who are willing to do as he commands. God uses people that will give him all. No. Small your might seem to you, because little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand. Just ordinary willing to do as he commands. Oh, yes, he does. God uses people that will give him all. No matter how small your all might be, to you, because your little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand. Just like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had, how the multitude was fed with the fish and the loaves of bread. So what you have may not seem much, but when you yield it to the judge, oh, the Master's loving hand, then you'll understand how your life will never be the same. Just ordinary people. My God, you
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Candy. Candy and Steve LaFleur, what a blessing they are to this ministry and to the body of Christ. Oh, let the Lord know how you appreciate them and all of our musicians all week long. And, oh, my. Oh, we are so blessed. Now, you know, you can't just get up some morning and decide you're going to run down to the convention center and have a meeting like this. It just doesn't work like that. There's a lot of prayer and a lot of work and a lot of believing God that goes on all year long. And we just want to say how much we appreciate the churches that pray and supply supportive ministries. And Eagle Mountain International Church, Fort Worth, Texas, George and Terry Pearson's pastor. Lakewood Church, Houston, Texas, Joel and Victoria Osteen pastors, praise God. High Point Church, Arlington, Texas, Gary and April Simons, bless your heart, glory to God. And we want to thank you guys for that television broadcast. Amen. What a lineup Gloria and I get on Sunday morning. I mean, we out preaching all the time, and we get home on the weekends. And since you guys put your broadcast on, we have a direct feed over to Eagle Mountain International. And so George will be preaching on Sunday morning. And since you guys put Promised Land on there, whew, glory to God, we get up and we get Bill Winston, and we get Keith Moore, and we get George Pearson. Oh, we have us a Sunday. I tell you, by the time I get through watching Promised Land, I'm ready for anything. Praise the Lord. Bless you too. We appreciate and love you. Amen. And Heritage of Faith Christian Center, Crowley, Texas, Justin Bridges, pastor. Calvary Cathedral, Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols. Covenant of Love Christian Center, North Richland Hills, Pastors Nick and Jermaine Wright. God bless you guys. We love you. Amen. Faith Fellowship Church over in McKinney, Rob and Tony Gore. Metroplex Family Church in Fort Worth, Brian Jacobs, pastor. And then the Spanish Interpretation, Annette Aholt is a coordinator from Saginaw. And Deaf Interpretation, Gene Sanders is a coordinator, Eagle Mountain International Church, Fort Worth, Texas. And, of course, Daystar, Marcus and Joni Lamb, praise the Lord. And the God Channel, Rory and Wendy Alec, and we're up on the God Channel again tonight. Praise the Lord. So give them all a great thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and God bless you a hundredfold. Oh, this has been a marvelous believers' convention. Now, tomorrow, here in this same building, the Fort Worth Catholic Diocese of Fort Worth is celebrating their 40th anniversary, and so we're leaving everything just like it is. We're leaving all the equipment. We're taking down the our logo, and everything else is staying for their 40th anniversary convention, and we're blessing them with that, and they're a blessing to Fort Worth. Praise the Lord. And we just want to wish them a happy 40th anniversary. Glory to God. And a great success in this city until Jesus comes. Praise God. I tell you, God is a good God. Amen. My spiritual father used to come on the platform and he'd say, "Something good is going to happen to you." And every time he'd do it, I'd say, "Yes! Hurry!" Hallelujah. But it did. A lot of good things happened. Now tonight, in closing, well, I don't really ever close. I just quit for a while. Because there's no way to close these things. Let's go back over to the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel. The thing that we're going to see tonight from the Word will absolutely totally remove you from where you are now and place you in a lifestyle that, I mean to tell you, is so far beyond anything you ever dreamed before. Oh, man. Oh, I know. Gloria and I know. It's done that for us. But it didn't take any 40 years to do it. It did it in less than 18 months. And then it just started growing and growing and growing and getting better all the time. Oh, yeah, we've fought a lot of spiritual fights and fought the good fight of faith and all of that. So what? That's part of it. And I'll tell you what. When you get it down in your inside that you cannot be defeated and you will not quit, praise God. And when you step on out there and you take charge and you step right up in Satan's face and tell him to get out of the way. Take hold and win. Ain't nothing like it. There's nothing like it, praise God. I never could understand Christian people that don't want to get in the game. I just never did fit my thinking. When I was a little boy, I was raised out in West Texas, Abilene, Texas. And, of course, out there in West Texas, I'm telling you, high school football is a big thing out there. Only they start you in grade school. And I was big for my age, and so they let me start a year before everybody else. I didn't know what I was doing. But I wanted in the game so bad I didn't know what to do. And the coach knew I didn't know. I didn't know what to do if I got in there. And I bugged him so bad. Hey, this was the first game. And I'm just a fourth grader. But man, look at this. This is big time. I went in there. And I'd follow him up and down the sideline. Coach, come on now. Come on now, let me in there. He'd turn around, Copeland, go sit down. Well, I couldn't. I tried. And I'd go sit down. And, you know, my little 10-year-old Fanny wouldn't even hit the bench, man. I'd just sit down and just bounce right back up. I couldn't. I was like, come on, coach. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. So finally he did. And I got in there and realized I don't know what to do. So I thought, well, let's hurt somebody. So I hit everybody in sight just as hard as I could. Well, I knew could understand Christians that sit over there on the bench and try to hide and hope Jesus don't see them and send them out anywhere where they might have to stand on the word. Or, oh, don't you know the devil's liable to get me? He's got you now. Amen. Now the Apostle Paul said, I thrive in tribulations. I take pleasure in the fight. Hallelujah. Ah, that's my kind of man. Amen. And we're going to be talking tonight about the things that will put you in that place where you're unbeatable. And you get to where you get hungry for the challenge. And you learn some things. And the more you learn, the more you realize you can't be defeated. Not as long as you're walking with Jesus. Not as long as you got your full armor on. Some of you don't even know where your armor is. Much less have it on. Well, not so much this Saturday night bunch. I got to take that back. Amen. You guys are dangerous. I know that. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness in the 15th verse. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, we've learned in studying this week that covetousness is a way of thinking, planning, preparing, but that way of thinking will maneuver you and bring you into a place where to covet looks like the right decision. It's very insidious. Covetousness is in Proverbs 14. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So those ways of death will lead you into a place where what seems right and what seems like the thing to do, and actually what seems like a perfectly fine, acceptable, innocent decision, and this is a business decision, this is our market strategy, and da-da-da-da-da, and not even have a clue that the spirit of death is working in your business, he's working in your affairs, and if you're pastor of a church, he's working in the church. The church for years has had businessmen trying to tell the pastor what to do because the pastor's depending on their credit rating to borrow money in the church. Got men and women on deacon boards and trustee boards that don't no more have any business on a church board than I do in the astronaut program. They're not there because God called them to be there. They're not there because they're anointed to be a deacon or a trustee member. They're not there because they're qualified to be part of the leadership of a church of the Most High God. They're there because they can borrow money, and they will eventually try to bring their business ways of doing things over into the church, and it will destroy the power thereof. Amen. The business world should be getting its power from the church instead of the church getting its power from business people. Now, I've met some of the most powerful ministers of the gospel that I have ever known that God called into business, but they weren't operating their business according to that Babylonian system. They were operating it under the management of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were soul winners of great power. And they supported the church. And they built up their pastor. And they believed God in their roles of business instead of trying to use those business practices over in the church and bring the world into the church and wonder why there ain't nobody getting saved. Well, eventually the pastor will change what he preaches because he thinks maybe those people might get aggravated or mad at him. And they will. I've had them come to me. Now, you know, Brother Copeland, I'm a contributor to your ministry. I said, yeah. And they said, if you don't do such and such for this particular person over there, and if you don't do something, I'm going to withhold my partnership. I said, that'll be just fine. You ain't no partner. I may be totally mistaken over there. I'll pray about that. I'll correct that. But it ain't going to be on account of your money. You can't do that. There ain't no way that'll work. Well, I'm way out there ahead of myself. We're going to get back in here to this way of thinking. Now, this man made some horrible decisions. We've looked at them during the week. Jesus said this, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what'll I do? I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And then he went from bad to worse in his decisions. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. Just making that decision right there made him so vulnerable in business, made him vulnerable to the curse. It made him vulnerable to the devil. I mean, the man's ground is bringing forth bountifully. It's blessed. His barns are full. But instead of his ways of going to God first, recognizing that I'm blessed because of God, not because of anything I did, and go to him first before he made those kind of decisions, God would have protected him and told him exactly what to do. Now, Jesus said in his teaching in this, he said exactly what this man's decision should have been. He said, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and begin a giving program. Get in the giving business. Don't tear your barns up. You're going to lose everything that's stored in there. And you're going to be spending money tearing them down. And then you've got to spend money to rebuild them. What if the weather changes? What if the curse manifests itself in his land and he winds up without a crop? Now he's going to wind up without any barns and without any crop. Well, that'd be bad enough, but evidently this man had been thinking that way long enough to where he had opened himself up in his way of thinking and his way of planning, and it had gotten him over into a place where he lost his protection, and it got him killed in that same 24-hour period that he made these final decisions. He wasn't expecting to die. No, what did he say? And I will say to my soul, soul! You have much treasure laid up for many years. Take your ease. Oh. He dropped his guard right there. He quit. He, in his mind and in his heart, he retired. Do you know there's no word in the Hebrew language for retire? It's not there. If it isn't there, it ought not be in English. You're going to retire? You're going to quit doing things for people? Well, I don't do things for people. I mean, I work for blah, blah company down there, and I'm just going to retire. Well, what are you planning on doing? Oh, I don't know. You know, we're just going to kick back. So what you just told me, you never have done anything for anybody, and you're going to quit doing anything for blah, blah company, too, and you're just going to quit life, you most likely won't live very long. Why? You've stepped out. And when you step out like that, without God being in your plans, and you're already determining your future, you don't have a clue what the future is going to be. But you got it planned for. That's the reason it is really, really not smart to sign some big loan for 40 years. You are claiming that 40 years from now, I'm going to be able to make these same payments I'm making today. That is just not smart. But can you see what was happening here? Now, let's go on then. I'm going to go up there and get my stuff. I'll be right back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I've been looking forward to getting into this time. The key here, the key element, Jesus has given us, He has given us the key to the bank with these scriptures right here. Now watch this. Take no thought. Stop doing all that planning. Spending all your time thinking, what am I going to eat? There are people that are planning lunch when they're having breakfast. The Apostle Paul talked about a whole group of people whose God was their belly. Even when they came to church. The kinfolks is around us today. I used to be one of them. Got delivered from that. Amen. God has a plan for that. Do you remember what we talked about this? And we turned over there to the book of the Genesis. When God blessed, He created man in His own image. And then He blessed them saying, be fruitful, multiply. Replenish the earth. resupply the earth all the time. Think about that. He created this thing alive, and it needed nourishment. All these animals need nourishment. They're all going to multiply. All the plants are going to multiply. And he's telling this man that you have the power in and on you now to replenish this thing and keep it alive, this one man. Well, now, he hadn't been alive very long. That's the first thing he ever heard, was the blessing. But knowing what we know now, coming from our background, what would be the very first thing that would come into your mind? What are you talking about? Me replenish the earth? I can't replenish the gas in my car. How am I going to replenish anything? How am I going to multiply? The blessing. And God said, subdue the earth and have dominion over everything in it. With what? Compassion and the love of God and the blessing of the earth. That was the power. And in that blessing, which was the perfect will of God for all men for all time. First thing he ever said to a human being. In the blessing. Inside, part of that blessing, part of the equipment of the blessing is the plan. How do you do it? The blessing will teach you. God has a plan. He didn't say fill up the earth without having a plan that he could do it. Amen? It wasn't just some haphazard thing. I mean, if the man had said, Lord, how am I going to replenish the earth? And God said, well, I don't know. Figure it out for yourself any way you want to, but I'm going to hold you responsible for it. What if you'd come up to God and say, Oh God, I want to be saved. I want to be free from my sin. I want to be free. Oh God. And he'd say, well, okay, it's all right with me. I'm willing. How do I do it? I don't know. Figure it out for yourself. Salvation without a plan. No. The plan was in God, and the blessing came out of God, and the blessing had the plan in it. Hallelujah. And the blessing of Abraham has come not only on you, but in you. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and it is the same worldwide blessing plan of God that was in Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Daniel, Moses, Jesus. Yeah. Inside the blessing is the plan. The plan is blessed. Huh? Hallelujah. The plan includes the power. Mm-hmm. And everything it takes to carry it out. Now, let me ask you something. You remember Joseph. You remember his brothers sold him into slavery to a bunch of people he never saw before. They took him into a land he never heard of before and sold him to a military officer. How did he know how to run Potiphar's household? Hey, he's never run a ranch. He's never run anything. He's just a little boy, little sheep herding boy. I mean, when he lived, how does he know how to do that? How does he know how to make the man so? I mean, this is a field grade officer. that this was an officer in the Roman military. High-ranking man. A lot of authority. A lot of land. And this little Hebrew boy took over his business affairs, and he made this man so wealthy, he got to the place he no longer knew how much he had except the bread that they set on his table. How did that little fella know how to run a ranch in a land where he'd never been? The plan was in the blessing. And that just followed him wherever he went. They finally threw him in prison. He got in prison, and the blessing started working in the prison, and they made him assistant warden. And the whole prison was blessed and prospered. How do you know how to run a prison? The plan was in the blessing. God knew, and he had the blessing of God. And it'll work in a prison. It'll work on a farm. It'll work on our cattle ranch. It'll work anywhere. Good friends of ours, Billy's and Gloria's and mine and all our fanatical bunch. Amen. That disbelieve if we can pray in tongues long enough, we can find out anything. Amen. Because God knows it all. He's on the inside, and we have the blessing. We have the wisdom. We have the knowledge. We have the Word of God and the direction of God. Well, these people were part of that for years, and he was an extremely high-ranking scientist. And back in the days when they were working on the communication satellites, this was really hush-hush stuff. And ain't nobody knew how to do this stuff, man. Ain't nobody been out there. But God. And when they decided to set a satellite out there over 20,000 miles away, it turned out to be in the neighborhood of 24,000 miles, in space, and synchronize it with the Earth. It's a communication satellite. And they were working on this thing. And they couldn't figure out how to make it stay where it's supposed to be. On most of anything else. They just had ideas and theories, but then nobody ever done this before. Well, he was on that team. And they were praying people. And they would get stuck. They didn't have any plan at all. Well, which direction are you going to turn here? If you don't know God, you're going to go back to the library that was written by people that don't know anything about what you're doing. How are you going to get it out of those books? You can't. You're going to go to the internet and try to figure out something? If that's your first choice, then somebody will have had to have solved it before you. And they don't care nothing about you anyway. Jesus said, now listen, seek ye first. Train yourself to turn first to the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't make a plan. Don't even think a thought for tomorrow without going to Him first. Don't make your plans for your future without going to Him first. You're not going to be responsible for any more of it one day at a time. Hallelujah. Amen. And you weren't required to clothe yourself. You weren't required to feed yourself. Jesus said, consider the birds. God feeds them. How much more are you worth to God than the birds? He said, think about that. Consider that. Meditate on that until you go to Him first, not last. Amen. That's like them two guys in business, and one of them said, what are we going to do? The other one said, let's pray. He said, has it come to that? That's the way the natural minded, the carnal minded Christian is. Lay in the bed and worry all night long. And then get up the next day and can't stay awake and wonder why. Worry all night. what the scripture calls feeding on the bread of sorrow. And the Bible said it is vain. In other words, it's all at work for nothing. To get up early and stay up late feeding on the bread of sorrow. Worrying, studying, trying to, I got to figure this thing out. Well, if you don't know it now, whatever you figure out tomorrow, it ain't worth the sleep you gave up for it. I got so thrilled with Brother Keith Moore. I've used his example ever since. I haven't figured out a way to improve on it. He said, you're someone that goes to a file cabinet and you pull open the drawer and you go from the front, each file, all the way to the back. Now that file cabinet is your mind. The answers are not in your mind. They're in your spirit. Your born again spirit is connected eternally to the eternal God. Hallelujah. Who knows everything. And he's not a million miles away. He's right there on the inside of you. Trying to get your attention. But you're hung up in your mind. And you lay there all night. And you go one file at a time. All the way to the back. Oh, and then from the back, one pile at a time, all the way to the front. What am I going to do? Oh, God. And from the front, all the way to the back, you're thinking about everything you know about this mess. And then you, you pull them out one at a time and pile them in the floor. And then you take them one at a time and put them back in the drawer. It ain't in there. The plan ain't in there. And any plan you make now is going to be vain. And you will do things and say things and plan things that seem like the thing to do. And it will only lead you deeper into that mess. Like borrowing money to get out of debt. It can't be done. And we've got a whole government full of grown people that think you can. And you look the world over and you study every nation that has ever been on any form of socialism, and they have all failed. Not one success in the bunch. Ah, but we can do it and it'll succeed. That's the definition of insanity. You cannot keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and expect to someday get different results. But you know what that is? That is the arrogance and the ignoramus and the stupidity and the dumbness of human beings without God. That's what it is. Now, Jesus laid it out very plainly. He said, fear not, little flock. It gives your Father great pleasure to give the kingdom to you. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is that? What is his righteousness? He's right. If he said it was green and the whole world said it was orange, it's green. I don't care what it seems to be. Amen? Amen. And when you come to that kind of respect for God, that kind of honor to God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Because the Bible said he has laid up wisdom for the righteous.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's hidden, but it's not hidden from us. It's hidden for us. To keep the devil out of your prayer life, to keep him out of your finances, to keep him out of your way. But now, brother and sister, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to play his game, he's in your finances now. I tell you, Jesus has given us the key to the bank of the heavens and the earth. Seek first God. And then know he's right and his plan will work. And you can go on to sleep.
Amen.
Amen. You don't really even have to know much about the plan. Just be willing and obedient and you'll eat the good of the land.
Amen.
He didn't intend for you to bear the burden of anything. Amen. No, it wasn't his idea at all. How? How is a man and 318 household servants going to defeat the biggest expeditionary force in the known world and the meanest king that had ever lived up to that time? I'll tell you something funny. I had the Lord say this to me. Oh, this was about 3 months ago. I'm praying and I'm praying in the spirit because I run out of anything to pray. This mess is going on around. And you quit basing your prayer on what you see on television. You'd be a whole lot better off. And when the Lord said that to me, that word that I read to you, he said, don't pay any attention to what the politicians or the media are saying. Listen to me. I got a plan and it works. So I'm praying in the spirit about all of this. And I heard the word of the Lord come to me. And he said, Kenneth, I took care of Pharaoh. I took care of Abimelech. And he said, compared to those guys, these guys are amateurs. These guys that think they're running the world today. They couldn't find their way home without a laptop. And God was saying, Kenneth, he said, don't have no fear. Don't pay any attention. He said, I got my eye on them. And he said, compared to Pharaoh and Abimelech, these guys are amateurs. Oh, boy, he's seen them come and go, hadn't he? Nebuchadnezzar. Well, yeah, old Nebuchadnezzar wound up out in the middle of the woods crawling around like a dog with long fingernails eating grass. And God talked to the man for over a year trying to prevent that from happening in his life. He wouldn't listen. But Ali King. Yeah, but he's king of a flower patch without God. And when he finally came to himself, he said, I ain't doing that anymore. Man, he humbled himself before God. Think about what Jesus said. Then he gave us his word. He said, don't be afraid. Why are you thinking all the time about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear? He said, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Well, don't you know there's an eating plan? Don't you know there's a clothes plan in all of this? You don't have to plan it. Believe it. Sow towards it. Amen. Instead of spending all your time thinking about it. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, you know, I ain't getting any younger and so far I don't have anything laid aside. What am I going to do? I mean, it's getting deep around here and it's getting worse. The dollar's worse than it ever was and it ain't worth nothing and it's getting less and less and less. And what are we going to, woe is us. What are we going to do? Well, at that rate, you might as well lay down and die. No, you don't want to do that. What, don't you know there's a plan? What plan? the plan of your blessing. Seek ye first. Boy, that's it right there. Seek ye first. God's wisdom is available in abundance to all men. It's all over the Bible. Only thing of it is, you can't get it without faith. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The double-minded man, the doubtful-minded man, hesitates, he's dubious, he's unstable. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He can't get God's plan. Why? He wavers. Every little wind comes around, blows him off in another direction. Oh, yes, hallelujah, God. I seek you, God. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. And somebody comes along and says, have I got the deal? I had a guy call me one time. He said, Brother Copeland, do you believe the Scripture says that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just? I said, well, sure. I read that in the last few days. Boy, he said, God has really put a deal in my lap. I said, what's that? And I've forgotten how many thousands and thousands of cartons of cigarettes that this guy could get for nearly nothing. And he wants me to invest money in it. I said, it's hard for me to believe I'm hearing this. You want me? Well, Brother Copeland, he said, we can sell them to them sinners. Boy, what a plan. I can't hardly wait to get in on that one. Oh, we laughed about it later. Now, seek ye first. Every plan that men have to meet the needs of man. The government plans to meet the needs of its people. I don't care whether it's this government, some other government. Runs parallel with a plan that God has to meet those needs. Because men cannot come up with anything new. Only God knows the ins and the outs and the answers. Men come up with stuff that looks right. Men have a healing system. You know, they have a treatment for cancer, but they make you sign a paper when you start to take the treatment that you have to be aware that the treatment will kill you. And if you die from the treatment, then your family can't sue us. But don't worry. Strange, isn't it? But there are people that will fight you almost to the death guarding that system. Even when you know from God how to get out of this thing, they will try to keep you in their system. They don't care whether you get healed or not. Even if you do get healed, they'll stick with theirs. Unless they become connected with God. Why? Because that way, listen, they're not doing it because they're mean, bad, ugly people. They're doing it because that seems right to them. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, let's look over here at Isaiah 55. We read this right at the beginning. Let's read this again. And we'll begin to wrap this up because it's very simple. It's not hard to see, but there is a process to it. Isaiah 55. Verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, now you see the comparison? The heavens are higher than the earth. The heavens on one plane, the earth's on another one. But they're supposed to be connected together. But back there a number of centuries ago, they got separated. Well, Jesus brought them back together. But if you don't know how to appropriate what he's done, you're still thinking down here on this plane and without the mind of Christ. But his mind is available to you by faith. You can think with his mind. The mind of Christ was the word Christ. What's that translation of? The anointed one and his anointing, right? So the mind of Christ is just simply this. The anointing on the mind of Jesus when he was here in the earth and the anointing on his mind now as head of the church and the director and Melchizedek of the blessing of Abraham, that anointing is available for your mind. Amen. Hallelujah. It is in the blessing. Well, how do I get it? The plan is in the blessing. So you have to seek first the kingdom because that's where the plans are. And they all belong to you. God has given you the kingdom and all his plans in it. And they're all in this book. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back over there. Where we were. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain comes down, the rain falls from one level down to the other, and the snow, and returns not, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth bud. The blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22, remember that? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it.
Amen.
Well, no, Brother Copeland, we have to make a living. We have to make deals. We have to make loans. We have to do this. We have to fix that. No, no, no. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. It fixes. It plans. The plan is in it. How could one Hebrew man and 318 of his household servants defeat a major army? Night tactics. That army had never come up against night tactics. Where did they get it? Well, they couldn't go out and get some other army to train them. The other army never heard of it. They didn't know how to fight in the dark. But these guys were the first unit to ever rule the night. Hallelujah. 318 men not only defeated, said Orley Omer, they slaughtered him. It was called the slaughter of the kings. 318 little Jew boys. Mm-hmm. Took that king to the cleaners. Mm-hmm. How? The plan was in the blessing of Abraham. And the blessing of Abraham has come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus because he paid the price to get it here. The same plans are in you. Good friend of mine. I visited him with him about it back in the Vietnam conflict. He was an artillery captain, and he's retired general now. But back there then, he's just a young black kid from from the South, got baptized in the Holy Ghost when he's just a little old boy. And I asked him, I said, they give you any trouble not only for being black, but being a tongue talker too? Oh, he said, they raked me out. He said, you can't imagine. He came up through the ranks, see, to General Staff. But he said, Brother Copeland, my Lord, he said, that's what got me there, was knowing the Holy Ghost. And here he was, middle of the night. They got a patrol out. He's an artillery officer. He is supposed to be laying down a line of fire that'll protect this patrol where they can get back in. And the patrol leader got on the horn and said, Captain, I'm in trouble. Sir, he said, I am surrounded. They're monitoring me on the radio. And he said, they got me cut off in any route I go. What am I going to do? And he said, Brother Kendall, I didn't know. But he said, just hang on. He said, can you just hang where you are? He said, yes, sir. Right where we are right now, we'll be all right at least for a little while. He said, you just hang still. And he said, I went outside. And he said, it was a clear, bright, cold night. And he said, I just started walking out there praying in other tongues. If you can pray in tongues long enough, you can find out anything. If you'll do it according to the Word and do it by faith. The Word says, when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have it. It didn't say as soon as you get their interpretation, believe you receive it. He said, when you pray in the Spirit, believe you receive it. He that prays in a language he didn't learn, let him pray also that he interpret. But you can find out from God what's coming out of there. But most people just jabber around and never believe anything. And it's just a church experience. But here's a man that his mama taught him how to pray in the Spirit. Thank God for praying mamas. Amen. And he said, Brother Kenneth, I just walked out there and started praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, didn't take long. Man, he said, yeah. And he ran back in there and he grabbed the horn. He said, Lieutenant, you on? He said, yes, sir. He said, you a Christian? Affirmative, sir. He said, you know the direction of the star of Jesus? Oh, yes, sir. He said, you come out in that direction. He said, I'm going to lay a line of fire all the way around you except in the direction of Jesus' star. Yes, sir. Well, them guys didn't have a clue. Well, where do you get that? The blessing was in him. The blessing was on him. He's praying in the Spirit. The plan was in the blessing. Well, did it work? Oh, yeah. He just laid that line of fire, and here come that whole patrol out to the east. Amen. Glory. God had an idea for him. See, yeah, how long would he been out there before he thought of that? Somebody got killed in that mess if he tried to get it out of his head. Amen. But the plan was there all the time. So what'd he do? He didn't run get his artillery manual to see how to get him out of there. He didn't run call somebody else. He didn't walk before and say, my God, I don't know what to do. I guess some boys are going to get killed. Oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, God, what are we going to do? No, he turned first to the kingdom of God. He moved into the Spirit, and he began to pray in the Spirit. Oh, yeah, but I mean, what if them soldiers out there hear me praying in tongues? I could care less who hears me. I ain't talking to you. And ain't nobody cares when you get them guys out of there without a scratch. Hallelujah. The plan was in the Spirit. The plan was in the blessing. And out they came. Abraham's plan for strategy to fight in the nighttime. And not only did they slaughter a bunch of guys, but man, these guys the force of fear was working in those other people. They got people in the night out there doing things they ain't never run up against before. Where'd he get that? The blessing of Abraham. The plan was in the blessing. We talked about Joseph. But then what about when Pharaoh had that dream? Well, he interpreted the dream, told him exactly what was going to happen. You're going to have so many years of prosperity, but then you're going to have so many years of famine. And the 7 years of famine are going to be hard, terrible famine. Well, I mean, what good that do? Just tell a man what's going to happen. Where did he get the interpretation of that dream? Say, well, he got it from God. Well, yeah, but how did God get it through to him? What's the connection between the man and God? The blessing of Abraham. He's the seed of Abraham. So what happened? There was a plan in the blessing. And the interpretation not only was what going to happen, but here's how to fix it. And when he got through with that, Pharaoh said, all right, you run it. Who, me? Yeah. He was in prison early this morning. He left out of there that afternoon, prime minister of Egypt. Why? Man had a plan. Well, he didn't expect to get it anywhere except God. He wasn't looking somewhere else. He just went to God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And he's right. If you know he's right, and whatever he gives you, you do it. I don't care how it seemed to you. Because he's right. And all these things will be added to you. Now, there's a divine principle here. It happened in Galilee with all those fish. Jesus said, throw your net out there for a catch. He didn't say, let's see if we catch something. Peter said, Rabbi, we worked all night long, didn't catch anything. But now he didn't say work, he said toil. They were fighting it, man. I mean, they were working. We toiled all night long, caught nothing. But at your word, now don't take that in the wrong way. He wasn't acting on his word. He said, because you want to do this, we'll go do it. In other words, you ain't going to catch anything, but if you'd like to go out here, I know what's going to happen. I raised on this lake. I have a business on this lake. I know what's going to happen. I worked all night long. I've already cleaned all my nets. Jesus said, throw your nets in there. He said, I will throw the net in there. He had one old rotten net that it wouldn't hurt anything, get it wet, because he didn't plan on cleaning the thing anyhow. He's worked all night long. His wife's waiting on breakfast. He don't want to take his preacher fishing. Amen. It's the only time in the blessing of Jesus of these fishermen. One time they got so many fish in their net they couldn't move it. But it didn't break. He threw a net that was old and rotten. He kept his good nets clean. That's a bad plan. So what happened? When the blessing moved out in that lake, in the middle of the day, the fish came to it. Why? The blessing has dominion over the fish of the sea. And it's kind dominion. It's compassionate dominion. The blessing of Abraham on Jesus drew every fish in Galilee to those boats. And the only net Peter had broke. And he's a Jew boy. He knew what he'd done. He had given a rotten sacrifice, a one-eyed animal. He gave a crippled animal to a man of God. And he said, and now he's knee-deep in fish. His other partners had to come out there and get those fish. He didn't catch a one. Had Jesus in his boat and didn't catch a thing. Because he wouldn't do what he said. He thought he had a better idea. He's a seed of Abraham. Should have known the blessing. But he knew what he'd done. He saw and he was astonished at all these fish. And he's thinking, what have I done? this is a man of God, and I gave him a rotten net. And he said, depart from me, I am a sinful man. And he fell down at Jesus' knees. He couldn't fall down to his feet. He's knee-deep in fish, man. And I can just see Jesus standing there with a smile on his face. He's looking at him. And Peter's down there groveling around in him, fish, and they're slapping him in the face. You know what I mean? God, man, get away from me. Jesus said, oh, come on, boy. I'm going to make you catch men. The blessing is what draws men and women to Jesus. The love of God. You want to know how to win souls? Get the plans. You can get ideas from other preachers, but hey, seek first. Seek first the kingdom plan, and all of those souls will be added to you. Don't seek ways to get the money in. Don't spend your time thinking on that. Seek ways to sow. Seek ways to get the word out. Seek ways to love people. Seek the ways of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he'll show you how to get the souls in there. He'll show you how to pay the bills. God started talking to us about going on the radio. I said, Lord, I don't want to go on the radio. Lord have mercy. I went on a station or two. I was the biggest bus I ever saw in my life. And I just passed it. I wouldn't listen to him when he wouldn't talk about it. Ain't no use you lying to God or acting all that funny. He knows what's inside you anyway. You might as well get right on up front. Save you a lot of time and trouble. Amen. And I was going along one day. He said, what are you going to do about this? I said, nothing. I don't like that. I'm busy now. I'm preaching 7 days a week. Well, see, that's my fault, not his. He had a plan. Work six and rest one. When my back come apart on me, that disc blew out on my back. And man, I went up there and got before God. Man, I'm seeking him. Now, don't ever go before him and say, how come you let this happen to me? Oh, yeah. No, sweetheart. That is a wrong question. It's fine and wonderful for you to say, Lord, show me how I got into this. Show me your plan for my healing and get me out of this. Don't you run to the doctor until he tells you to go see a doctor. And then your next question is, where is he? Who is he? And how do I get there? Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God, not medical science. The thing, I mean, it may be something so simple that one word from God changed the thing in 5 minutes, and you're fixing to go break the bank on some big mess that ain't going to do you any good. Well, I found out later that people that had this problem that do run to medical people, I'm not talking down and bad about medical people. They do all they know. They just don't know very much. And most of them, their plans don't work. Now, God has connected us and has given us the privilege of knowing several Holy Ghost baptized, God sold out doctors, praise the Lord, that know more about healing than most church people know. One of them I laid hands on. One night the Lord said, I want you to lay hands on him. He said, he is an apostle of healing. He's a medical doctor. Said, he is an apostle of healing. He said, I called him into the healing ministry. I said, well, Lord, forgive me, but I'd like to ask you this question. How come he wound up as a medical doctor? He said, Kenneth, if I called a man to be a mechanic, don't you think I'd send him to school to find out how a car works? But he said he didn't listen to all of that. He's still listening to me. He studied forms of medicine that the other doctors wanted to kick him out for. But the Lord sent him over there. Learn things. But he knows God. And he knows the Spirit of God. And he knows the healing of God. And the Lord said, lay your hands on him. He's an apostle of healing. Oh, man. Well, see, he's a minister of the gospel who is a doctor. He's not a doctor that ministers. Did you get that? Well, when you get the thing upright and get it in the right place and you pray in the Spirit and you find out God's plan that's already been established in your life and you go get in your place over there and you're doing the thing that God planned for you to do, that's where your prosperity is. That's where your protection is. Pray and ask him where your church is. Where are you supposed to be going to church? Your church may be around on the other side of the world. Well, what are you doing here? Amen. And it may not be but three doors down from your house. Well, what are you doing Golden Church around there 20 miles away? Well, I don't know. I know it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Quit seeking a church until you seek the kingdom of God first. Amen. And you'll find out what church you belong in. Because that's where your prosperity is. That's where your ministry is. That's where your protection is. That's where the life of your children are. Amen. Hallelujah. Not just because grandma went there. That may be where grandma's supposed to be. But you find out what your calling and your mission is. And you pray in the Spirit. And you seek first the kingdom of God. And you take time in faith to do the things that I'm about to show you here in the Word. Very simple, but very profound. And when you do it, you'll begin to know. And you'll begin to see. And you'll begin to understand. And it'll begin to come up in you where you're supposed to be. Well, quit arguing about it. Go get in it. Go get in it. The way has been made for you. Well, I don't know, Brother Coleman. Don't seem like to me. Well, your seamer hadn't worked up to now. Why do you think it'd work now? There is a way that seems right, but the end thereof, the ways of death. You need to get on the ways of God. And he said, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It'll not return unto me void. It will accomplish that which I please, and it'll prosper in the thing where I sent it. What is it? The word of the blessing. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this? You following where we're going? The whole key is seek first. Seek first. If the government has a plan, don't seek the government plan first. Seek first the kingdom of God. He'll keep you out of debt. And he'll keep you out of sickness and disease. Well, I prayed about this thing on my back. And I said, Lord, how come this happened? How'd I miss it here? You can't miss it. I mean, you didn't bring this on me. I did. How'd I do that? And I got quiet before him. I was in a lot of pain, enormous pain. He said, you don't rest and you push your body until it began to break. Well, they did an MRI and looked at my back and saw where that disc had blown out of there and blew up the face of the vertebrae. It blew out of there so hard. And there were other discs in there that were herniated. And it was just a mess, man. I said, I don't rest? No, he said, you don't rest. He said, I created you to rest 52 days a year. Well, see, I missed it on the most basic plan of all. Amen. And he said, you don't rest 52 days in 5 years. I said, well, Lord, I take time off. He said, yeah, you take time off, but you don't rest. Come on. And he said, you're not receiving my word. And you're not drawing it in. Now, what am I doing here? I'm seeking him. I'm seeking his plan. Find out where I messed this up and then find out how to fix it. Well, I found out later. I never had paid a whole lot of attention to it up then. But when I looked at the medical side of it, what had happened to me, the first thing they want to do is do surgery. And then I found out their failure rate on their surgery was over 80%. Well, thank you very much. I believe I'll pass. And, I mean, it's not because they're trying to do that, but their plan ain't working. But they keep doing it. Not on me. So, I need to know the plan. And I mean, I'm hurting so bad. Boy, I feel like I got run over by a train or something. Man, I'm in an enormous amount of pain. So, I got things here I have to deal with. And I said, well, Lord, I'm going to change that. He said, you haven't been feeding on my word and believing you receive your healing, believing you receive your health. I said, I haven't been. He said, no, that's not what you've been. I said, Lord, I spend a lot of time in the word. He said, yeah, but he said, the reason you are so strong in faith to preach is because everything you go to the word to get, you plan on preaching it in order to feed faith into my people. And he said, that's good, but you got to feed on it yourself.
Amen. Amen.
Well, he's always right. Don't argue. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. We'll change that now. The next day. I'm determined, man. I'm going to rest. So I got my leg propped up out here and it's hurting. And I got her propped up and I got the word and I'm in it, you know. And man, I run across some stuff. Son, look at this. Well, I forgot about how bad my leg and back was hurting. And I got into the word and it kind of captured my attention, you know. And I said, glory to God. And I grabbed my notebook, a little notebook I carry all the time, and some clean paper, you know, and I'm writing these scriptures down. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of this, Kenneth, sir, what are you doing? I said, I'm in the Word. He said, that's good stuff, isn't it? I said, yes, sir. Hallelujah. He said, what are you going to do with that? I said, bless God, I'm on prayer. I had to put my hand over my mouth to keep from saying it. I'm going to preach this, bless God. Hallelujah. This is the good stuff here. Well, I did later, but that wasn't my business right there then. I needed to be over there in his healing plan, and I still hadn't sought him for it. I found out just enough about it to get where I was supposed to be, but I got over here in this other, and I wasn't taking care of business, and I wasn't resting, and I wasn't building up my faith. And when it come to my own healing of my own body, my word level was really low. And so I had to get over there in it. And so I sought first the kingdom of God, about second or third, but I got to where I was seeking first the kingdom of God. And healing began to be added to me. And I got in there and I said, hey, you are my master. I receive your will. You're right. Whatever you say is right. You're always right. You're not a man that you should lie. Everything you say, everything you do is right. I'll do whatever you say. I'll go wherever you say go. I'll do whatever the plan is. And then shut up. And be still. And begin to pray in the Spirit. And listen. And as you begin to pray in the Spirit, stand on the Word. He that prays in a language he didn't learn edifies himself. He speaks not unto men, but unto God. And howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries, divine plans.
Amen.
The Scripture is talking about the power of life and death is in the authority of the tongue. And the Scripture says, your spirit is a wellspring of wisdom, and your tongue will draw it out. And I began to draw it out of, this is not a church experience. This was a healing experience. God gave you that for 24-hour-a-day operation. Not just so you could do something or other or claim something or other in church. That's fine in church. But hey, this is around-the-clock business here. Hallelujah. And I began to get the plan. Scriptures began to come to me. And the word of the Lord came to me. He said, I want you to order Brother So-and-so's whole series on healing. Yeah. Man, I ordered it. Got it back in there. Praise the Lord. Man, I went to work on it. I started feeding on those scriptures and feeding on those. And every time I'd get all excited, the Lord would say, put your preaching book up and listen and be still and feed the word in there. And I could tell it, and I was getting stronger and stronger. And then he started giving me some instructions about pieces of equipment and certain things to do. One piece of equipment to order. And we went to order it, and they were back ordered. Didn't know when they were ever going to get them. One of the most advanced pieces of equipment for the restructuring of the human spine. Changed the whole medical world's idea about low back failure and low back pain. Success rate, 95%+. Yeah, I'm going to get me one of them. Hallelujah. Well, you mean, Brother Copeland, you get equipment like that, it's supposed to be in a doctor's office? The Lord said I could. So I've got one, put it in the laundry room. Dr. Weeder, who's our prayer partner, he's a Holy Ghost baptized preaching man, healing man, and he's a chiropractor. Well, he went and got certified on the thing. Come over and work on me in the laundry room. That'll work. Amen. But they and Doc called up there and they said, Brother Colton, we should back order there and no telling when we ever going to get one of them machines where we could get it over to you. They called back in just a few days and said, the strangest thing. There is a machine that just came off the assembly line. It is sitting here, ready to be shipped, and nobody knows whose it is. It has no shipment label on it. It has nobody's name on it. And we thought, we bet this is Brother Copeland's machine. We said, you're right. That is Brother Copeland's machine. Ship her on over. Amen. Hallelujah. See how God will start moving? But I didn't jump out there to get the machine first. Not until God said, do it. I didn't even know about that machine until God said, do it. Now somebody come tell me about all kinds of apparatus. I don't care. And there's a lot of good stuff out there. That's not the point. But the blessing of Abraham has in it the plan. And it's on the inside of me. And he built this body. He knows where I am and what I need. Amen. I say, well, why didn't he just heal it right off? He didn't have, he healed me 2,000 years ago, just like he did you. I'm in the process of receiving it by faith and receiving my directions and receiving what I'm supposed to do. Well, a little over a year later, they took another MRI and stood it right, but that disc has reconstituted, and by the power of God, is a new disc in there, all standing up straight, all the hernias out of all those other discs, and it's all my backbone just standing up there straight like it's supposed to be, like a bunch of little soldiers right up there in line. Amen. Hallelujah. God had the plan all the time. If I'd have listened to him back there about 20 years ago, I wouldn't have gotten that trap in the first place. But no. He said, I'm not the one that added all that stuff to your schedule. You did. And I had to pull out more than once that I had to pull out and get before the Lord and get the plan and go back over all this stuff I decided we're going to do and pull it out of there and look at it. Is that the plan of God for this ministry, or is that something that just looked like needed doing? And lay it aside. I didn't like it, but it wasn't God's plan for me. I was in somebody else's way. You need to stay right in the office God put you, right in the place where He put you. Amen, and let Him grow you there. Let Him build you there. He has a plan, don't He, Nick? He got a plan, man. And when people are flopping around trying to figure out the plan, no, He said, be still and know. Now you seek it. Well, Brother Copeland, how do you go about doing that? Well, turn over here to the 51st chapter of Isaiah. And I'm closing now. Oh. Isaiah 51. Now remember, Jesus said, seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened. Ask and you shall receive. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. But let him ask in faith. Faith is the connector. These things have to be done in faith. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you don't maybe understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, but you have faith that you're praying the perfect will of God because it's coming out of you and it's coming out by the Holy Ghost, and God said it would. And he that prays in tongues edifies himself, charges up his spirit, building yourself up, praying on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I don't know whether I can do that or not. You can't with that kind of attitude. Quit trying to do it and go do it. Isaiah 51. Hearken, or listen to me. First time I read that, it said, hear, ken. H-E-A-R-K-E-N. Hear, ken. Hearken to me. You that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord and His righteousness. Well, isn't that what we're talking about? Ah, here's some instruction. Look unto the rock whence you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, unto Sarah that bore you. I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. You're the seed of Abraham, and in God's promise to Abraham are key issues to the plans of God. The Lord shall comfort Zion. Well, Brother Copeland, I mean, that's Israel, isn't it? Yes, it's referring to Israel. But the Bible calls the born-again believer Mount Zion. No, we don't. The church did not replace Israel or anything else. The church is the church. It didn't replace anything.
Amen.
God, Jesus said, I'll build my church. Didn't say I'll replace Israel with it.
Amen.
Now get that out of your craw.
That's right. Come on with it.
That's preach deadly.
It.
No good. Violates scripture all over the place. Besides that, it ain't none of your business. There's the church, there's the nations, and there's Israel. And you're in the church. So you take care of your business and let God take care of the other. Amen. If He calls you to help in any of the other two, you agree and go get it done. But your business is the church.
Amen.
Amen. So now, He'll make her wilderness like Eden. Oh. Now then, the blessing of Abraham is the Eden covenant to get that garden back by the power of the blessing. So God's perfect will for you and all other men is His plan for you is the same plan He had for Adam, and He planted a garden and put him in it. And God has a garden spot for you. So you start with that. God has a good plan for me. His high thoughts are good for me. The religion has told us, philosophy has told us, fear has told us. I don't want to get too close in there to God's plan. I mean, there ain't no telling what He'll tell me to do. Well, it don't make any difference what He tells you to do. It's a whole lot better than anything you can come up with. Because anything He tells you to do, now He's responsible for it. And His plan for you is Eden and no less. If you don't know where to start, start with the promises of Abraham, because all of that belongs to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, and you know, I'm closing here. And her desert like the garden of the Lord, joy and gladness shall be found therein, and thanksgiving and the voice of melody. That's God's plan for you. Joy, I mean, He may call on you to go someplace and do something that looks like, I don't want to go do that. But remember what He has on His mind. Eden, joy, thanksgiving, abundance. The way it looks to you and the way it looks to Him are two different things. You just say, yes, sir, I'm on my way. Ha. I was a student at Oral Roberts University. And I was flying for Brother Roberts, and of course I was working in the meetings and all those things. Well, this particular night, one of the last tent meetings, and by this time I was driving his car and was an assistant to him in things, and so I had his coat over my arm, and we'd gotten into that service that night, and I'm just standing there back in the wings, and he's out there preaching. I said it wrong. We were in Cobo Hall in Detroit, and I had his coat over my arm, and he's up there preaching, and my man, he's preaching a message. And the word of the Lord came to me. Well, I'm very young in this. I had little experience at this. Man alive, I jumped to attention. I could hear it on the inside of me, you know. Not with these ears up here. When God's talking like that, He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, I had opened my heart to hear Him, and that I would be obedient to Him, and incline my ear to His sayings. Amen. I had come to that place by this time. Well, he said, Kenneth. Then I said, yes, sir. He said, if I tell you to hold his coat, I had his coat draped over my arm, and you go out there and preach, and you win 2,000 souls to the kingdom of God. The souls are fine, but you don't get any credit for them because I told you to hold the coat. Well, it began to dawn on me, what if I didn't know I was supposed to be holding the coat? That's still a question today. So seek first the kingdom of God and find out, are you supposed to be preaching or holding the coat? You're part of the team. Don't make any difference. You're a partner to this ministry. Which is the most important? The person that stood up and preached the message, or the person that bought the clothes that the preacher's standing there preaching in, or paid for the fuel that got him or her there? It's all the same team. But he said, and he did, there were 2,000 people came to Jesus in that great Cobo Hall and in those meetings. And he said, if you are obedient and you hold the coat, and he preaches a message and gives an invitation, and 2,000 people answer that invitation, you get credit for the same 2,000 souls as he does. Man, I saw it. I mean, that just really set me free, man. But from then on, I was more than willing to do whatever he told me to do. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes. And then he said this, Kenneth, if I only told you to carry out one can of trash, I could make your trip from the back door to the alley the adventure of a lifetime. Whoa! And then I saw it. He is the God. He is the marvelous architect of the universe.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Doing His will is the most marvelous thing on the face of the earth. One guy was telling a preacher friend of mine one time, he said, I messed up my whole life. He said, how? He said, well, some years ago, I went down to the altar and the Lord said, are you willing to go to Africa? He said, no. God, I walked away. And he said, a few days later, I went back to the altar and I'm praying and I'm saying things like, I will be done in my life, Lord. Oh, help me, God. He said, are you willing to go to Africa? He said, no, I told you before, no. And he got up and left. And he said, I got to where I didn't want to pray no more. He asked me, am I willing to go to Africa? And I don't want to go over there. And I got up and left. And he said, I finally got off out in the business world. He said, my body's been sick for 50 years. He said, everything I have done is failed. And I realize now where I failed is because I backed out on God and I quit going to Him. I got out of His plan for my life. And he said, I finally repented and fell on my face before God. And he said, are you willing to go to Africa? I said, yes, Lord. When do I leave? He said, I never said you wanted to, I hadn't told you to go. I just wanted to know if you're willing. He said, I blew half of my life in fear because I didn't trust His love for me. But now he realized it. And my friend was able to tell him, hey, it ain't too late. Hallelujah. No, it's never too late with God. Never. As long as you've got breath in your bosom. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the way He's right all the time. How? By faith. Lord, Your will be done in my life. I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll say what You'll have me say. I love You with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind and strength. Your word says in the first chapter of James that any man that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and finds no fault. So, Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus, and I believe I receive Your wisdom. And when I hear that wisdom, when I hear that voice, I'll know and I'll act and I'll do it. I don't care how it seems to me, but I know You have a plan and it'll be right. And I'll be successful in this life, and it'll add years and length of days to my life. And I'll live long and be satisfied in the earth. And I thank God that you said in Genesis 6:3 that the days of man shall be 120 years, and I'm on my way, glory to God. I intend to live them all in the plan of God. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Don't ever be afraid of God's plan for your life. And I don't care how bad you fouled it up. He's got a way out. I said to him one time, I said, Lord, I sense it. I can tell. I've missed it. I've gotten off track here. It's agitating my spirit, and I've noticed it in our finances. This thing bottlenecks some or another. I seek your plan, and I begin to pray in the spirit. I believe I receive. I open my heart, and I open my ears. And you said that the Holy Ghost would show me things to come, and that all you have is all the Father has is yours, and you'll show me all that's yours. I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. God, help me here. How do I get back into your will? How do I get back into your will? How do I get back into your will? He said, who said you had to get back in it? See, that seemed right to me. How do I get back? I got out. How do I get back? Back in the early years when I first started flying, I've been flying airplanes 50 years this month. And they didn't, man, I look back at some of that equipment we was using back then and I thought, I don't know how we lived through some of that. But it looked good then, because that's all there was. And particularly when you get out over the ocean or someplace, man, I mean, and navigation in. And what always disturbed me, they called it dead reckoning at navigation. Dead reckoning. Dead reckoning? Why can't we have some live reckoning at navigation here? But I had to learn how to do that, you know. And it always amazed me, airplanes go to terminals. I don't like terminal anything. No. But here I am out here where there are no navigation aids, and I'm flying along here, and I'm beginning to get off course here a little bit. Now, if you catch it here just a little bit, you're only just a little way. But you hold that same heading just a few degrees off course, but you stay there hour after hour after hour after hour, and the same heading will have you back over here so far you ain't got gas enough to get back over there on your truck. It's called an off-course problem. Now you're going to figure out, I'm out here in the boonies, and my destination is over here. Now I got to figure out how to get from over there back over here. I ain't got time to get back over here on track because it takes me so much gas to get back over here. Now I get turned out, I'm going to run out of gas before I get there. Oh, woe is me. Off course problem. I got to know how to get from there to my destination. Not come back over here on the original track and get to the destination. Well, the Lord reminded me of that. I got a spiritual off-course problem here. Now in today's operation, piece of cake. You got that GPS sitting up there. You just go three little button pushes, tick, 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 and it gives you the whole thing right there in front of you. Thing. Ain't we smart? You didn't have to learn nothing except how to push a button on a box. But back there then, man, I'm telling you, get out the whiz wheel and what am I going to do? And I'm thinking about this, and the Lord reminded me of that. He said, Kenneth, you got an off-course problem. I missed God, and I got off out of here out of the will of God. My track's over there. Now, in my mind, I'm trying to know I'm trying to find out and figure out how to get back over here on that original track and then go. That's what I had in my mind. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. The Lord said, don't you think I can get you from where you are to where I called you to be? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, you trying to do it. Oh. He said, I'll put you back over there. I said, yeah, but what about this over here? He said, the moment that you repent and declare by faith, thy will be done, leave it up to me. I will account it to you as if you never got out of my will. I'll fix the mess that you created, and I will get you back on track from there. You don't have to come try to make up. Say, he said, you'll foul it up worse than you can fix it if you try to fix it. I said, how do I do that? He said, what have I taught you about faith? Believe you receive it, and you'll have it. Say it with your mouth. I said, okay, what do I say? He said, I just told you, thy will be done. I said, you mean that's all it? He said, don't try to build something into this. He said, let me do it. Thy will be done. I said, you mean that's all? Thy will be done. He said, now you spend some time with me, and I'll show you the plan. He said, but you just keep confessing. He said, do you believe I can take you from where you are right now into my perfect will and make up for the time that you messed up? I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's your specialty. Praise God. You take my mess and straighten them out. Hallelujah. And treat me like I never sinned. When I repent and lay hold and claim and plead the blood, glory to God. He said, well, why don't you do what I told you? I said, I confess the sin of not paying any attention and making my own plans and getting out of the will of God. And I roll all the care of it over on you. And by faith, as far as I'm concerned, thy will be done. And now I'm back in the will of God. He said, that's right. Now get busy. I said, well, I'm still on this track. He said, stay there till I lead you in another direction. You started that mess. Keep your contract. Keep your word. Preach the word. I'll work it out. Roll all the care. This is the key issue. Seek first the kingdom of God and then roll all the care over on Him. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. God gives grace to the humble. And he resists the proud. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him. You've been laying there in the bed at night crying because of all that care on you. If God could just take half of this, I believe I could handle the rest of it. Oh, shut up. Who you think you are? Little God? No, you're not. You're a child. God. Cast it over on him. He don't want you carrying that mess. But you're going to have to cast down imaginations. Bring into captivity every thought. How do I do that? The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. You have mighty power to pull down those strongholds. I don't have a care. I cast all of my financial cares over on you. Your will be done. I'm carefree. He meets my needs. What he says, that's what I'll do. And you wake up one morning, and he said, I want you to go up there. There's a man out there I want you to talk to. What? No. Say, yes, sir. And go. Well, I don't see what I need to do that for. Who said you had to see anything? You're taking the care back. You're trying to run the ship again. And your nets are no good. He said, but now you have to resist the devil. And after you have resisted a while, the God of all grace will exalt you, strengthen you, perfect you, and stabilize you. And you'll be entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Rolling all the care of this world over on Him. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, no! Inflation's a coming. I don't care. I ain't part of that. But Brother Copeland, that country's going so deep in debt, they can't do it. Oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Ain't my care. That's God's problem, not mine. You remember what Jesse said the other night? He gets those big bills in there. He says, Lord, you got mail. I learned that really early in the ministry. Mr. Wigglesworth was a very bold man of faith. He was having a meeting in a large facility, and the owner of the place came in, and they had a bunch of bills that had stacked up there, and he's waving them at him. Mr. Wigglesworth, what are you going to do about these? He said, what is it? I'm a gruff talking man. He had a powerful voice. A man just say anything, you can just hear him for blocks. What is it? All these bills that he handed them to, stack of stuff. He looked through there. Roll that car over on the Lord. Nothing. Threw them in the floor. Well, Brother Copeland, that's not very polite. He wasn't trying to be polite. It wasn't his care. Well, the guy's over there picking up the bills, and he's hollering at the fellow that was working for Mr. Wigglesworth, and he's trying, you know, messing and walking around. But Wigglesworth is walking by faith, and by the end of the week, all the bills were paid. He didn't have any care about it. He'd already rolled the care of it over on God, and he wasn't going to get into it with that guy and pick up the care of those bills. He didn't want to see those with his eyes. He had put his eyes on the Word. He had put the Word up before his eyes. Proverbs 4, 20, 21, 22, 23. The rest of that chapter gives you the process to get the plan. Attend to my Word. Incline your ear to my sayings. If you see it in the Word, it's right. Don't argue with it.
Well, I know the Bible says that, but you can't understand. I ain't healed. I got this thing right here.
I was in a prayer line one night and fixed to lay my hand on a fella. And he came up there and he said, he pulled his coat up like that. Said, I got this. And I started to lay hands on him, you know. And the Lord said, don't touch him. I took my hand back. He said, tell him, by my stripes, he's healed. I said, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. No, I'm not. I got this thing right here. I said, the Bible says, by His stripes you're healed. He frowned up. He said, I know the Bible says that, but I got this thing right here. I ain't healed. You see that? Well, at this point, I don't want to stand there and go back and forth with this guy. And I just turned inward. I said, Lord, I ain't going no further with this. You tell me what to say. I didn't say it out loud, but I looked inward there. And the Lord gave it to me. And I said, the Bible says, by His stripes you were healed. Now, if you agree with me and the Bible, that thing will leave. If I agree with you, you will die from it. He said, my God, I see it. Put your hands on me. By his stripes, I'm healed. I mean, he saw it. Honorary cuss. But he saw honorary, he just believed it. I laid hands on him in the power of God, like to knock him sideways. And he got up saying, "My God, I'm healed. Look at her. I'm healed." Can you see it? Amen. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Don't look at other stuff. You're seeking God's plan. Don't go checking with other people unless he says to. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of life. Don't let any junk get in there. You can't afford it. Put a watch over your mouth and don't have a disobedient tongue. Take heed where you walk. You can just read the whole plan there. In the beginning of Proverbs chapter 4. Let's turn over there and we'll close with that. How's that? Y'all keep laughing. And I keep a-preaching. And four. Look right up here at the top of it. Verse 7. Let's start with 3. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. She will preserve you. Love her. She'll keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get it. Hear, my son. Receive my sayings. And the years of your life shall be many. Verse 20, attend to my word, incline your ear to my saying, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces of life. Put away from you a disobedient mouth and perverse lips, but far from you. Let your eyes look right on and your eyelids straight before you. You ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. That's the way you get it. Jesus referred to the written word of God as the wisdom of God. In the book of James, turn over there. I'll close with this. I mean it. I'm really trying to do this. But I'm not about to when the Lord's telling me to go somewhere else. You can go home if you want to. I'm not going to quit this until the Lord says to. In James, we've already talked about lack wisdom. Let ask of God. He gives to all men and doesn't find fault. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, come over here to this third chapter. Verse 13, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. That's just plain old keep your mouth shut. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God and you keep your mouth shut until something can come out of there in love and faith. Now, look at this. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly. It is sensual. It is of the senses. It is devilish. And where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle, it is easy to be entreated, it is full of mercy and good fruit, it is without partiality and without hypocrisy. What is that? That is the Word of the living God. My word goeth forth out of my mouth. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways higher than your thoughts. My word goes forth and prospers in the thing whereunto I sent it. This is the wisdom from above. Well, first of all, it's pure. You can trust the book. God will reveal himself in it. It's peaceable. You go to getting something that's agitating and all that kind of thing. Whoop. No, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Something's going on here. Satan's trying to mess with you. Gentle. God's word never says anything to you to hurt you. It's always to help you. And if God says you're a hypocrite, just smile and say, thank you. I'm in prayer one day. I'm seeking the Lord about what I'm supposed to eat and all that kind of stuff, looking for his plan, because mine sure wasn't working. Dear Lord. And he said, Kenneth, you're a hypocrite. I said, what? I said, Lord, that's kind of a low shot there. But. He said, Kenneth Copeland, you would fire somebody for putting the wrong brand of oil in your car or in your airplane, much less the wrong grade. I said, yes, I would. He said, you stuff stuff in your mouth that you ain't even read the label on the can. He said, what's more important, your car or your body? You hypocrite. I said, not anymore, sir. I'm reading them cans. No, I ain't putting something in this in the temple of the Holy Ghost anymore. I never found so much junk in my life. I started reading those cans. And if they got a bunch of words on there that you can't pronounce, you don't know what they are, don't eat it. You know. It's easy to be entreated, and it's full of mercy. You can entreat the Word of God without being concerned that He'll ever hurt you. Amen. But now get this one. It's without partiality. It's full of mercy and good fruit. It's without partiality. I don't care who you are, and I don't care where you are. The Word of God belongs to you. Amen. Amen. I mean, you be on death row for killing everybody that is in your family, and the Word of God is still for you. I know. I've ministered to them, and I've seen them get saved and born again. Praise God. One serial killer. It got born again. He had this woman, he was going to kill her, and she had one of my tapes in her car. He kidnapped her in her car and was going to kill her. And she kept telling him, you ain't going to kill the only person that ever loved you. He said, woman, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kill you for that. She was about to drive him up the wall. She kept telling him Jesus loved him and she loved him. Oh, he didn't know how to put up with her. She said, well, if I can't talk, can I listen to my tape? I don't care what you listen to. Just please shut up. She stuck a tape in there. And so the tape started playing. And the voice of the Lord spoke up audibly. And he heard God and thought somebody was in the back seat. And he slammed on the brakes and he said, who's back there? And he's looking around this. Well, to make a long story short, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And contacted me. He surrendered, gave himself up. Then they had missed this guy. They hadn't caught him. I mean, they had him trapped time and time again. But he was like Teflon, brother. I mean, he had so many demons working with him that. But he got born again. I mean, and he contacted us. I baptized him in water in the Bexar County Jail in San Antonio, with guards standing around with their hands on their pistols ready. Boy, they didn't like him. We became close friends. He got on death row. And they began to call it life row. He got everybody on death row born again. Teaching a prayer class. I told him, I said, Stephen, you got just time enough to become an expert on prayer. He said, I'll do it. I'll give him a word. And he did. I was with him when they executed him. And that warden said, Stephen, you got any last words? Yes, sir. He strapped down on that gurney. And he raised up there as high as he could. And he looked at all the people standing there witnessing his execution. He said, let me tell you something. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. And whatever you do, get full of the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to tell you right now. He said, if God could do something with a rascal and a skunk like me, think what he could do for you. I'm telling you. And he got to preaching and he stepped down there and he left that preaching just good. And the warden said, Stephen, that's enough, son. That's okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Still got a smile on his face. The warden said, we've got to take care of business now, son. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the last thing, he and I had an agreement. And I said, Stephen, signal me if the grace of God is more than enough. Yeah, he said, I'll do it. And he said, yeah, you'll know. And he said, I'll be honest about it. I said, okay. I'm standing, closest from me to the front row here with a little fence there, and the gurney's right there. And the warden's standing right over here, and then here's the executioner in here ready to put the juice in, you know. He got the IVs in his arm. And the warden said, just lay down there, Stephen. And I knew the warden. Warden's born again, spirit-filled man, good friend of mine. And he's very kind with these men. And he's very stern, but he's a lovely man, full of God. And he laid back down there, and when he laid his head down, he raised over there at me, and his arms, you know, are strapped down on that gurney, but he could move his hands like this. He looked over there at me, and he went like that, and he kicked both thumbs right straight up. And he laid his head down, and he was gone. But he gave me two thumbs up, and a big wink. The grace of God is more than enough. Now that's a serial killer. And we know he killed 22 women. The word is without partiality. Because Jesus paid for this thing. And the last part. This wisdom that's from above is without hypocrisy. For you to stand up and take God's word and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I am redeemed from the curse. I am free from sickness and disease. I am free from debt, praise God, and I'm healed. With both nose running and your ears are dripping and all kinds of pain in your body, you're not a hypocrite for saying what God's word says. And you keep saying it, and it'll change the fact, it'll change the sickness, it'll change the death. It will work you right on out into God's perfect plan. Seek ye first. Stand up. Say it. Seek ye first. When? First. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all of these things. All of the plan, all of the things, all of the wisdom, all of the knowledge, everything God knows is available to you. Everything He knows, Brother Copeland, everything He knows, yes, it's exceeding abundantly beyond all you can ask or think, but it still belongs to you. Say it, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm not a doubter.
I'm not a doubter.
I have God's word.
I have God's word.
I believe.
I receive.
His plan.
His plan.
I'll prosper anywhere in the world.
When I'm in
His plan. His plan is right.
His plan is mine.
Oh, glory be to God. Yeah, 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 yeah. Who's got your Amplified? Who's got Amplified Bible? Who's got the Amplified Bible? Hustle up here with it. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Hallelujah. Don't run off because I'm going to hand it right back to you. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Don't leave yet. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, this must be somebody else's Bible. Oh, yeah, but it's in there. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, hang on. It's on the wrong side of the page. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, we're close. Oh, we're close. Boy. Did you tape that together for you? Now listen. For we, say me.
Me.
For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths, that'd be ways, wouldn't it? Taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prepared and made ready for us to live. Every born again believer, thanks, bud. Every born again believer has a plan headed into the good life. What is that good life? I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly until it overflows. There is a way that seems right, but that's the way that is right. Ha, 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 ha. Praise God. Preached all week long just to get to say that. Say it, I'm a believer.
And I believe.
He shows me my way.
His way for me.
That He has prepared. My wealthy place.
My healed place.
My Garden of Eden. Filled with joy. Singing. And thanksgiving to God. His way is right.
I seek first
the kingdom of God,
the plan of God.
It doesn't matter what's happening to the rest of the world. My way is a protected way.
My
way is the good way. And my way leads to victory in Jesus. Well, shout amen, somebody. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah.
Don't get much gooder than this, I tell you.
Next, 2010, we're only having one believers' convention next year, and it's right here in this facility. And the Lord instructed Glory and me to call it Homecoming 2010. Hallelujah. We're gonna all get together in one place. We're gonna have the Grandpa of All Believers Convention next year. You start believing for it. You start setting aside for it. You start getting ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Praise God. Your divine path next year is right here. Praise God. Have you enjoyed the convention? Give the Lord a praise.
Then sings my soul.
The dates next year are August 2nd through the 7th. That's August 2 through 7th. Make your reservations. Thank you for joining us all over the world on the internet. Pick up your personal belongings around you. Your CDs and videos are ready. Go pick them up. God bless you. Say it with me. Jesus is Lord.